Hello, hello from far and wide. This is episode number 5353. Add this to your list. We got on the left coast my girl Fumi Samano.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
And on the right coast with me, my boy Mark J. Parker.
Yeah, that's right.
And then, of course, there's me, Tom Chuba. What, what? And what, we are your three co-hosts of this wonderful podcast that talks all things entertainment, what you should add to your list, what you should skip, and everything in between, right? That's fair to say.
Totally.
That's totally fair to say.
Yeah. So how
that's
are you guys?
That's what we do.
I'm pretty good. How are you, Tom? You just got back from, a week in Arizona?
Yeah, like a solid week in Arizona for work, and then kind of dovetailed with my hubby a trip to Sedona at the end of that.
Yeah.
If you've never been to Sedona,
so
I would
good.
Highly recommend. Right, Foom? Yes. So beautiful.
Did you meet Tom there, Foom?
I didn't.
Yeah.
I think she was scared by the TSA stories.
Oh, yeah. How?
Which, by the way,
was
it wasn't that bad.
Okay, it wasn't.
And I was very sure to thank them all for what they were doing.
Good.
Nice.
I'm happy you did
that.
Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah.
And the lines, it wasn't too crazy. It wasn't like forever and ever.
No, luckily, knock on wood.
That's good. But yeah, I'm about to go to Alabama for work, so I was worried about, you know, if there were really long lines at the TSA and all that terrible stuff. But yeah, your picks looked awesome, Tom. Sedona is beautiful.
Thank you.
And was the weather, I'm sure, good? It was like warm, but not too warm, I guess?
Oh yeah, it was like 50s and 60s. During at nighttime though, like I had always heard the stories about the desert being
cold
at night.
Totes. Yeah.
I thought that shit was a lie. Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Fumi, what were you up to?
What I do this week? I didn't do much. I went back to work this week. So last week I was just enjoying my vacation, my last week of vacation.
Living it up.
Yeah. So I just relaxed. I did a lot of reading, did a lot of watching of television, a lot of documentaries.
Ooh.
She
Two
loves
documentaries
her docos.
Make my list this
Ooh,
week.
Ooh, you got
I
a
love,
docu
I love,
angle.
I do. I love my docs, you guys.
Flume, I'm so happy. We'll get to your list, of course, but I'm so happy one of those items is on your list because, girl, we got to talk.
Oh, I can't wait. If it's the one I'm thinking
we have to decompress after that.
What? Yeah, so.
And Mark, what have you been doing?
Oh my gosh, well, work has been kind of crazy busy. My sister was in town this past weekend. She just left today, actually, as of this recording. So she was visiting us, and we saw something that is on my list that I'll be talking about shortly. And we just caught up on some movies. We actually showed her Blockers, which, as you remember, was my fave of the year. And guys, I love it even more. It's funny how, like, my expectations were low when I first saw it, which is, I think, why I ended up loving it. And then now, after, like, you know, talking it up, I rewatched it, and I love that movie. And, Tom, you'll be happy to know, since I'm talking about catching up on movies, we watched Suspiria.
Oh, Lord,
and,
what'd you think?
You know, it's funny because other friends have asked what I thought about it. It's fine, like every other movie in 2018 for me. It's fine. It's very slow. Fumi, I actually feel like you actually won't hate it. I don't know, because I understand why you hated Hereditary, because it's all over the place. Suspiria to me isn't as all over the place. I feel like it's all on the trek, on the track that like makes sense. It's just so weird and slow and I just couldn't understand anything. I don't know. I have to still, like, I feel like I'm going to be thinking about it for a while and trying to figure it out, you know? But
I'm still trying to, and I've got nothing.
Yeah,
so.
I think ultimately,
let me know if you find something.
Totally. I feel like, Tom, maybe you agree. I feel like Luca is such a fan of the original that he made a movie that it's great that it exists, but it's almost only for diehard fans out there.
Yeah,
where,
I would agree.
Where he hasn't even explained everything. And so to those of us who are not fans or who are casual fans of that story, it's like, wait, what? You got to, like, explain this to me, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so we just caught up on some things, and here we are.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's get right into it, guys. As usual, we'll do our usual breakdown. We got some housekeeping and headlines, as Fumi coined last week.
H&H.
That's our new beginning segment. That's what we're calling it. Then we will get into our lists, and then we're going to talk Oscars, but we're not going to bore you listeners to death with the nominations because it's kind of old news by now. We're going to go into a deep dive on what the hell they're doing this year because they are changing some things up. But before we do that, let's talk news. Fumi, what do you got?
Yeah, so I basically just wanted to give a shout out because RuPaul's Drag Race season 11 starts soon. Yes. And we've got a bunch of new queens.
That's your news?
What'd you say, Tom?
That's your
news?
What'd
you say? Yeah, well, hey.
Well, excuse me. I haven't finished
this
yet.
This is big news.
Excuse. Oh, anyway, the news is Miss Vanjie is returning.
I'm so happy she's back. And did you...
I am
she
too.
She looks better than ever, so...
She looks amazing. She's here to... And so... I cannot wait. Hopefully she lasts longer than just one episode this time.
Oh my god.
But she, even though she only lasted one episode in her original season, her presence was felt throughout the entire season. So I can't wait to see what she does for RuPaul's Drag Race season 11. Get into it.
What else we got?
I'm so excited for whatever slogan she can come up with this season. Because everyone's going to be saying it for like the next year. Yes.
But my other piece of quick news is MoviePass 2.0. You guys, this is just a platform, a company, a subscription that will not
die.
Wait,
what's going on? Because I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay, so essentially we all know what a train wreck MoviePass was.
R.I.P.
The three of us had it. Mm-hmm. The three of us got rid of it. We followed and we talked about how at first it was unlimited movies, then it went to only three movies a month, and then it went to you can't go to any movies at AMC, and then it went to you can't go to any movies anywhere else, and it was like, what are you paying for?
And then it was like, you only have like these four options and two of them aren't even playing in your city or like,
right. Whatever. So what MoviePass is doing is they are now coming back and they are now offering tiers. So they're going back to the $9.95 a month for three films. But the kicker is that depending on where you live, you're at a different price point. So people in the Midwest will probably be paying like $9.95 a month for three movies. But people who live in larger cities where the theaters cost more, like the tickets cost more, they'll be looking at $19.95, but that will get them into IMAX films, 3D films, three movies a month.
Okay.
Still not sold.
I mean, listen, their parent company has lost like hundreds of millions of dollars on this company. So I don't know. I guess it's their last ditch effort. Who's to say? Apparently their subscriptions have picked back up again. If you are on MoviePass, for the love of God, please send us a review.
Yeah.
Shoot us a message. We want to hear why.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for real. I would actually really, if anyone out there is still on it, like, tell us what you're going through, what you're thinking.
Yeah, we'll interview you.
Yeah, for real, because this is so, and Fumi, did you say it's still going to be three movies a month?
Three movies a month, yeah. Not unlimited, but three movies a month.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wacky. So, we'll see. I don't know.
Mark, what you got, boy?
Well, real quick, since Fumi brought up great reality news, I just got to tell you, oh my gosh, this weekend, Bravo, I feel like, was giving me all sorts of magic between the Roni season 11 trailer that was just released today, my fave girls. Can we just briefly just, like, Tom, I know you don't even understand what language I'm speaking, but Andy Cohen's baby shower.
What? Let them know.
Like, I literally, my mouth, I don't know how to say words, but like seeing all these queens dancing and getting drunk and
together in
Lisa
one room
Rinna and
celebrating
and
Andy.
Phaedra was there, which I feel like is just amazing.
Phaedra
was there. Everyone was there is currently on a season except for Phaedra. So I feel like that must mean she's coming back.
And you know who else was there? Hold on, Tom. You know who else was there? Marlo.
I know. I love that so,
so
much.
So I'm like, oh my God, is she about to be a housewife? I love that so much. Is she finally about to be a housewife?
And did you know from Danielle Staub, since Marlo and Danielle are on like the same level now, because Danielle isn't a housewife anymore, she's just a friend.
Right.
She apparently had like issues getting in. I guess she like wasn't invited. That's at least what like Page Six wrote, but who knows? But oh my God, just seeing all these queens, a lot of New York ladies, I feel like, weren't there. Luann, Bethany. They weren't there, but...
they were probably all working.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't like every single one was there, but oh my gosh, guys. Yeah. It was truly amazing watching these Insta stories of all these ladies, plus John Mayer and Jerry O'Connell at...
Yeah.
And they were equally, like, funny. In awe of everything that was happening.
But aside from that, I just have to give, you know, good for them to support Andy and be there and party with him.
Can I ask a question?
Because he's, you know, welcoming a baby, and that's really exciting news.
Yes, Tom.
What?
Do you guys think he has time for a child to be a single dad, in all honesty?
That's a great question.
Yeah, okay.
I know they're...
I'm not throwing shade.
He's gonna have help. I mean, I don't think he's gonna do it all on his own. I'm sure he's his parents.
Right.
He'll probably have a nanny. Every New Yorker who's rich, who has money, has a nanny.
He'll have help. And I think also, for a while, people have said that he doesn't actually really do much at all anymore at Bravo. He really now is... just the face of Bravo, so he hosts
he
hosts his show and hosts the reunions, and I think other than that he'll just be home with his kid, you know.
Cool.
But yeah, so how to just give them love, man. Oh my gosh, wow. But my real news is Rent Live was on Fox this weekend. I was excited, but apparently I was one of the only ones who was excited.
Yeah.
Lowest ratings yet for a live musical in this new kind of rebirth of the live musical since The Sound of Music, which still reigns the highest rating of a musical of all.
What do you think happened?
You know, I don't know. I wonder if Rent.
Gay's not in right now.
What'd you say, Tom? Gay is not in?
Gay is not in right now. I mean, interesting. Look at the climate we're in.
I mean,
you think?
I don't know. I don't know if I.
I don't know if that's what
I feel
it was.
Like, I feel like I maybe it might not be in because of the political climate, but it's totally in there for because it's not in, you know, with politics. But I just wonder if Rent maybe actually isn't really as popular as a lot of theater people think. Because it is. You know, I don't know. It's funny. I saw the musical on Broadway. I've listened to the music. I'm a fan. You know, I'm not a diehard fan, but I'm a fan. But after rewatching it and seeing the live version, I kind of forgot it is slightly cheesy and everyone's breaking up and then getting back together and breaking up again. So maybe it's just not the best cup of tea for everyone. But I enjoyed it. I thought Vanessa Hudgens killed it. She is so likable and really brought energy. But I think the biggest loser of the night was that it wasn't even live, you know? Because of the one...
What a shame.
Yeah, so I wonder if a lot of people... I would be really curious to see if a lot of people started watching it and then they see that announcement at the beginning that it's like, because this guy broke his foot during a commercial break, we're going to show you 95% of the dress rehearsal. I wonder if a lot of people were like, oh, well, that's no fun, you know?
How do you think he feels? Do you think he feels awful?
Well, especially with this ratings news, that's a good question. I hope... I do hope he doesn't, you know, take it too... personally, because that does suck, but I don't know. It is a bummer. I mean, I enjoy these shows. I hope they keep them coming. I know the next one is NBC is doing Hair, which really is a head scratcher because Hair has nudity in it. So why would you do that on a major network live musical? But I don't know. I just have a feeling if Rent didn't do well, I don't know if Hair is really going to do well. But
yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, only about. I want to say, I think it was about 3 million people viewed it, so not really that many. So we'll see, but, you know, it had its highs and lows. It was nice to see Valentina, again, some Drag Race shout out on there. Mm-hmm. Not the best voice, but I don't think any of us were expecting a great voice, but I thought she was cute. So, you know, there's some goods and bads with all this stuff, so we'll see.
All right, and I guess I will wrap it up really quickly. SAG Awards just... completed their run last night as of this recording.
It was a good show,
and we're not going to bore the listeners with a rundown of who won. It's the usual, you know. Sandra Oh, Darren Criss walked away with an award. Patricia Arquette.
Yep.
A lot of the names we've been hearing: Mahersha Ali, Glenn Close. But the two biggest surprises to me: number one, Emily Blunt won Best Supporting Actress for A Quiet Place. And she wasn't even nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
I like that.
So that was kind of like, yeah, go Emily. Mm-hmm. John Krasinski was super cute while she was giving her acceptance speech. You could see him tearing up and crying. That was really...
They just love each other so much.
They're
yeah,
nice too.
It was adorable. And the other big surprise, well, at least it was a surprise to me, was that Rami Malek won. So now he's won the Golden Globe and he's won the SAG. And I am just not ready for him to win an Oscar, but we shall see.
I didn't think it was a surprise because, I mean, SAG just loves him. SAG, in general, likes bigger performances, but they were eating those screenings up. So I wasn't really surprised, but I was bummed. I guess Bradley Cooper really won't win anything at all.
Yeah, I really wanted Bradley.
Yeah.
He's not going to. Yeah, which is unfortunate and sad.
At this point, it's between Rami and Christian Bale, I think.
Yeah,
I would say
absolutely.
So.
It's funny, another year of the SAG Awards, and everyone I vote for, most of the movie people I vote for, I always like to go for the underdogs. They never win. So every single movie person did not win. And Black Panther won, which I was semi-surprised by. I mean...
Yeah, I was too.
I guess because no matter... I feel like the best ensemble cast in a movie this year, no matter what, it was kind of all a little... Not random, but just a little different. So I think no matter what, it would have been an interesting outcome on that end. But yeah, it was a good show, though. It was fun to see Megan Mullally host. She's so wacky and crazy. And she had Smitty from Will and Grace on there. Did you guys catch that at all?
I just caught the list of winners.
She brought her, butler Smitty from the show out. And, it was a cute little bit. So, you know, she's fun.
Cool.
Cool.
What
happened
guys.
To Will and Grace? Is that why is that not on the air?
It's coming back. It's coming back Thursday.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, they take a long holiday hiatus. It's like
yeah.
It's like all right. It's December 1st. We'll see you February 1st.
Okay, yeah. This is confusing, huh? Okay.
Well, let's get into what everybody came here for. Our list. Ooh. And Mark, take it away.
Ooh, okay. So I have a theatrical Broadway show on my list, and I have a TV show on my list. And first I'm going to go with the TV show because it did come out last year. I've been catching up, as I mentioned earlier. I feel like when it's awards time, I'm finally watching things that I wasn't able to earlier in the year. And so for the SAGs, I try to watch at least everything, you know, at least the first episode. Shout out, Foom. I finally finished the first episode of Killing Eve. Oh my God, love it.
It's such a good show, right?
I know that is like...
It gets better and
I'm like
better and better.
I'm literally a year behind. You were like, duh, I said that literally a long time ago. But I finally watched it. Love it. Anyway, that's like a little bonus. But no, I finally watched Barry on HBO, the first two episodes at least.
Mm. Oh, what'd you
Guys,
think?
I love it. I love it. Why don't you love it?
You know what it is? What's his
Bill
name again?
Hader.
The actor?
Bill Hader. I want to punch his face.
There's something about him that I just don't find entertaining. Or
I'm with you,
Fumi. And I've always been that way. I just cannot get into him.
I look at him and I want to hit him.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Okay. Harsh. Tom. Chill.
I don't feel physical violence towards him, but I just, something about him just, ugh, I don't get it.
Wow, that is so interesting. Same. Total opposite. I love him. I love him and everything he does. I think he's funny and charming and just kind of like a fun guy. But Barry, I finally watched it. It came out, I want to say, last spring. I think season 2 is already going to be here before we know it. So I got to finish season 1. But I watched the first 2 episodes. Did you guys watch the whole season or you gave up?
No, I could only get to like the first 2 episodes.
I didn't even see an episode.
You didn't even check it out. Oh, damn. Okay.
No.
Well, really quick, I know this is old news and a lot of you probably have already seen it. You're like, duh, Mark. But so Bill Hader not only stars in Barry, but he also created it and at least in the first 2 episodes directed it.
This is his
A Star Is Born. Okay, watch out, Bradley. We got another like man of all, jack of all trades, right? I mean, Jesus. But so Bill is Barry. And Barry is a hitman who really is sort of over it. He's been a hitman for years. He's very good at it, but he just doesn't like it. He doesn't want to be doing that. And so
he's a depressed hitman.
Yes, he's a depressed hitman. He's like kind of having not a midlife crisis, but almost that. And he's like just not into it and is just going through the motions and he doesn't like what he does. But so his kind of boss says, well, we got a new target. Let's go to LA and go after him. And this target is an aspiring actor. And so I didn't really know much about it. I just knew hitman, funny stuff. Guys, oh my God, I thought it was so clever. He follows this actor into an acting class and sort of accidentally gets mistaken for an actor, but starts to love acting and realizes, oh my gosh, this is what I should be doing. I want to be spending my life performing. And he's not all that good, but everyone's just so confused by him that they think he's good. Oh my gosh, great, great cast. They were nominated not only for Bill Hader and Henry Winkler for leading actor in a comedy, but also the cast, and they are good. A lot of them I had never really seen before. There's a blonde girl, I don't know her name, but she is funny, and she's kind of into Barry, and she's like, oh, well, what monologue do you want to do, and can we do a scene together? And he's like, well, what is that? It's just, I'm into it. I like it a lot. Henry Winkler is really funny and like this kind of odd teacher. I'm into it. I'm excited.
Can you see it sustaining over seasons and seasons, though?
I can see it at least sustaining a couple seasons because yeah. You can't fool me. You can't see it sustaining?
No, I don't personally like it, but I do get the appeal.
Yeah, I hear you. Because it's kind of like this fish out of water, and as he's kind of straying away from his real job, he's getting more and more in trouble with the people that hired him. So, and right. It is a dark.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not only do we have this funny acting world, we have the real deal, equally funny, but darkly funny, like assassin world. And, it's a little, there's some violence for sure. So, yeah, but I like all of it. I think it's so, I just think it's fun and wacky and I'm into it. So Barry season one, and I think season two probably comes this spring. I think they've already released the teaser trailer. So,
just today.
Oh yeah, there you go. So add that to your list. And then my other item is a show that I know Tom is intrigued by. So Tom, you will be totally happy to know that King Kong on Broadway, I'm officially giving it an add this to your list.
Yes.
Now
tell me, please, even though we were supposed to go see it together.
Well, yeah, I know. Sorry about that, Tom. Sorry. You were in Arizona hiking.
Uh-huh.
I had to go. No, so I got cheap tickets, and I just am letting everyone know it's a good cheap ticket. Do not, Tom, I know you like to spend top dollar on Broadway. Do not pay top dollar on this show. Don't.
Okay.
It's not worth 100 plus. No way. It's worth a nice 50. And so my sister was in town, and I was like, well, you haven't like been in the city in a while. You haven't seen a show. Should we go see a show? I'm like, I'm kind of into this King Kong show. All the reviews say it's not that great, but it's a great spectacle. It should basically be in Vegas. I feel like it's good for us. We'll have some drinks. We'll go enjoy it. And guys, I have to say the technical aspects of this show are so great. I was so impressed.
I hear it's amazing.
It's
yeah.
So basically, it's the story of King Kong. We all know it. Yeah. The lead character of Anne, typically a white blonde woman, is a black woman.
It's a black woman.
Yes. Which, that was cool. She's not, I think she's a good actress. She just was not directed well. Basically, the pros of this show are all the technical aspects. The puppetry of the gorilla. It's like 15 different actors who also are really in the show and sing and dance and have roles. So
oh, wow.
Very impressive that they're then also moving his limbs and, you know, all that. The whole, in the back of the stage is a screen, a video screen, which is really impressive. So when they're like on the boat going to Skull Island, like the screen is moving, the stage changes like you're on a ship. Like it's so fun. Lights are great. It's all kind of like a fun, it made me think of like old school, you know, a story like this nowadays in movies is so CGI. So it's fun to see something that's actually really there, you know, when he's fighting these other monsters and you can see the strings, you know? So that was really fun. The bad things, the cons are the music.
The music?
Yes. Yes. You probably have heard, Tom. The music is all over the place. It's like, it's
oh,
like
no.
Ballads meets like cheesy 1920s. Hey, like, oh,
really?
Yes. Meets techno. And I know what you're thinking. Techno?
Ew.
Actually, the techno?
Yeah.
The techno is the best part. Whenever Kong is like angry or, you know, worried, oh my gosh, it was mesmerizing. My sister and I were like, whoa, are we high? We are tripping because the video screen's going crazy and he's getting angry and they're like lifting him up and then the techno starts and it looks like he's running and the screen is moving and it's like, it really was breathtaking. We were like, whoa, like everyone was frozen because it's this crazy thing and the music, it's like a Christopher Nolan Inception, like, anyway, it was so much fun. So the music is spotty, you know, the acting is spotty, but go see it for just the fun, impressive visuals. I mean, it will make you feel kind of like you're a kid at an amusement park and it's a good time. I recommend it.
Is it going to last?
You know, I got to tell you, Tom, on a Friday night at least, I mean, it was pretty much sold out. Like, it was a packed house. So I have a feeling.
Is this Broadway or off
Broadway? It's Broadway.
No, Broadway.
Yeah, it's Broadway. It's at the Broadway Theater on 53rd Street. I wasn't expecting so many kids, but I forgot. Like, it is a very general audience show. So, yeah, I don't know if it'll be around, like, as long as, like, Chicago and, like, Wicked are. But I think it'll be here for a good few years. I then think it'll definitely live on in, like, Vegas or some other fun city because it's got that. It's just got that fun, like, you don't have to think too hard kind of show, you know? I recommend it. I think have a couple glasses of wine and go see King Kong do his thing.
Okay. For me.
Okay. First thing on my list. It is a documentary on Netflix. It is an ad, but it is, comes with a warning. It is called Abducted in Plain Sight. And let me tell you guys that you will want to watch this. But it will make you so angry.
Oh, God.
It'll give you such a headache. Mm-hmm. It'll make you so confused, livid. You will go through so many emotions.
Oh, my God. All of them.
There will be times where you will want to pause the movie, throw your TV out the window. Mm-hmm. But you will need to know how it ends. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Dirty John.
No. You can't even compare the two. I can't even. Okay, so Abducted in Plain Sight is a documentary. It is about a family that has, this is an actual event that happened to them in the 70s. It follows a young girl at the time. She's 14.
She's young. She might even be younger than 12? That. Yeah.
She might be 12. Yeah. It follows a girl who is abducted by a pedophile at 12 years old.
The family
are the Brobergs.
Ugh.
And the guy who, the family friend that adopts, that abducts their daughter is named Robert. Yes.
Oh my God, Foam.
You guys, oh my God.
Your jaws
it
will
drop. It's a
mind
fuck.
I mean.
Yes.
Why is the family complacent?
A complacent is too nice a word. The family is, the parents are completely and utterly stupid. I mean, the stupidity of the family. So first of all, this guy indoctrinates himself into this family. They're very religious. I guess the 70s, the excuse is they don't really know much about pedophilia and what a pedophile is. This is a whole different concept to them. Like, they couldn't even imagine what type of predator
I think
this
they
man
also
is.
Were kind of religious, right? So they were so
they're
fucking
very religious.
Naive.
They were so naive and so sheltered. It was... It's
they're literally,
it really
they were
is.
Like literally brain dead. I mean,
completely. This man first, because he's so infatuated and obsessed with their daughter, first attracts the mom, starts off simple, couple compliments, tells her she's beautiful, tells her she's got great legs, makes her feel pretty.
And this man is married.
This man is married. So they just think that he's this nice neighbor man who, like, him and his wife, and then they, like, the couple, and they, like, hang out together. So he starts with the wife. Then he goes to the dad. I'm not going to tell... Should I tell them what he does to the dad?
No, don't
I'm not
going
to tell you guys
away.
What he does to the dad because it's quite shocking.
Oh, my God.
And one of the many moments where you're like...
I paused it, and I think I screamed.
Same as I. So then, now that he's gotten the parents, he takes the girl. She's young, so she gets a pass because she gets abducted and she becomes to then believe that aliens have now abducted her and now want her to procreate with this man who he's the only person that will be able to save her and her family. So, you know, like she's a child. So you can't fault her for believing the things that this man did to confuse her and manipulate her. So he has her for a couple days. Ugh. When the mom discovers that her daughter is missing, she doesn't call the police. And you know why?
Are you really
going to
tell everybody everything?
No, I'm not.
I'm intrigued. Oh, okay.
She doesn't want to trouble them because it's the weekend. Her daughter's missing. She doesn't know where her daughter is.
I mean, it is loony.
You guys... It is absurd. It is insane. When you think that things have gotten solved and you think that people will be punished.
Oh, I know.
It doesn't happen that way. It is mind blowing. Yes.
Uh-huh. How long is
blowing.
It?
It's not that long.
Like 90 minutes, if that. Maybe even a little shorter. Yeah. Like, Mark, what did you think?
Everything you're thinking, I was so... This takes you on such a ride, y'all. I think I actually, like, had to pass out after. I'm like, oh, God, okay. I've gone through it. I don't even know. It's wacky. It really shows you how some people just don't get it. They're just not... Yeah. There's, like, walls. It's fascinating. Highly recommend. Yeah, it's just crazy.
I had to pause it in the middle halfway of watching. I couldn't do it anymore. And I said, you know what? I got to come back because this is too much for me.
Got to come back.
And then I went back the next day and I finished watching it because I was getting so angry.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You'll be screaming a lot at your TV. You'll just be, your voice, you know when you go, what? Like, you go even higher than that. Like, my voice just kept going higher because it's like, yeah, it's got to watch.
But full disclosure, the young girl who is abducted in this documentary, she doesn't, I mean, nothing bad happens to her in terms of like death, but obviously something bad does happen to her. But she is an adult and she also herself is in the documentary quite well adjusted, I must say, which was shocking to me. But, without a doubt, add it to your list, but I'm telling you guys, you are not going to be able to sit through it and, like, not be
You're
okay.
Not prepared.
Like, it'll drive you insane. So that's on my list, Abducted in Plain Sight. Second thing on my list, I already told you guys, I was all about the documentaries this past week. Ted Bundy tapes. Yeah. Confessions of a Killer. Confessions with a Killer. The Ted Bundy tapes, also on Netflix.
Just came out.
I hear it's great.
Add it to your list. It is so good.
Yeah.
Feel like this is the documentary that kind of got a lot of push and publicity from Netflix that was like, you don't watch it alone. It's really fascinating, amazing. Abducted in Plain Sight kind of came out. Didn't it come out too? It just came out. It was kind of like the underdog documentary. They're both fantastic, but in different ways. Confessions with a Killer. It is a 4-part series. It is directed, written by Joe Berlinger, I believe, who also is the director for the Ted Bundy movie that stars
Zac
Efron.
That's at Sundance right now.
The trailer's not
that's
very
at Sundance,
good, though.
Yep. Oh. And so I guess he's kind of like in a Ted Bundy place right now with his creativity and his work and content. So anyway, it's a 4-part series. It's about an hour each. The last part is a little longer, about an hour and 15 minutes. This documentary is all about Ted Bundy. It is his own words. It's the 100 hours of tapes that he spoke to these two guys who were writing a book about him. It's his words. It's them trying to understand who he is, why he did what he did. Him not being able to come to terms with or not wanting to admit what he did because he thought it could be his get-out-of-jail-free card, so to speak. Like, kind of his way of not having to go to the electric chair. It's fascinating. It really is fascinating. Another, obviously, if you don't know who Ted Bundy is, he was a serial killer in the 70s who admitted to murdering 30-plus women. Rumor is he might have murdered in the hundreds across 7 states in the 70s. He was arrested, got put in prison, escaped, murdered more women, finally got
apprehended.
Thank you. Finally got apprehended again and then was put on trial for murder. But it is mind-blowing to hear from his own mouth and his own words the things that he did when he finally admits to them. It gives you chills.
So wait, is Ted Bundy still alive?
No, Ted Bundy is dead. He was electrocuted in 1989 and Netflix released this documentary on the 30th anniversary of his death.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay.
They sure
did. And he was really good looking, right?
Yes. Which is I wouldn't say he was really good looking, but it will show you that if you're a good looking man, unassuming, you will be able to really get away with murder. He was a man who was not ugly,
right.
but he wasn't like drop dead gorgeous in my opinion. He had piercing blue eyes, which I could see would attract women. He came off unassuming and threatening. He would often lure his victims by pretending he was, you know, hurt or crippled or disabled in some way or needed help. And then that's how he would get the women in his car and then, you know, murder them and then rape them, dump their bodies. It's really disturbing. God. It really, really is disturbing. But it's a fascinating documentary to hear from his own words, but also from... see how law enforcement dealt with things back in the 70s, how they didn't deal with things, how he very obviously could have been apprehended much faster if you just had states working with one another, working with the FBI. Yeah. They didn't do that back then. Right. So it was very easy for someone to murder someone, take off a jacket, put on a change of shirt, and then go away and never be caught. Mm. So it really kind of helps you understand why there's so many cold cases from the 70s and 80s and 60s and 50s of murdered victims, because they just did not have... I mean, it's a world you can't even imagine, especially with how much of social media, how much cameras are everywhere in the world we live in today. Totally. It really shows you how that world was so different back then.
Wow, yeah.
Wow.
But definitely, definitely watch it. I mean, if only just to even hear from himself, like... him living through that, talking about what his thought process was, talking about how we thought about when he escaped from prison, talking about how we fought with his girlfriends, his family. Like, it's fascinating.
Wow. Did it scare you? So, were you scared at all, Foom?
It did scare me. I ended up binging the whole thing in one night. I couldn't stop. And ended up going to bed super late. And I literally couldn't sleep. I had to check my locks on my door like seven times because I was like...
Oh, my God.
Because the thing about him was that he would go into people's homes and just murder women while they were sleeping.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Wow.
So it's scary. It's really scary, but it's so fascinating.
Wow. All right.
Wow. I hear great things about it. A lot of people are talking about it on Facebook who I'm friends with. So, yeah, I definitely want to check that out. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for us. I have a Broadway show on my list this week as
Copycat.
Well.
Copycat. No.
Hey. So I have the Cher show.
Ooh.
And I'm going to put it out there right away and say that it is an add this to your list. But much like Mark, there are some things that are really good about the show and there are some things that don't work about the show. It's interesting because the critics lambasted it. They did. They were not a fan. But everybody, if you go on social and you go on Twitter and Facebook, everybody who has gone to see it from the general public absolutely loves the show. So there's this major disconnect going on.
Okay.
If you did not know, it is a show about the life of...
Cher!
Cher!
Are you joking? Who wouldn't understand that?
So it's... For me, it was really fascinating because I didn't know a lot about her early life. And it chronicles her life literally from when she was a little girl through, like, now, present day. So the show's a little bit long. It's 2.5 hours. They spend a lot of time on her when she's younger. There are three different actresses that play her at three different points in her life. The main one, who is quote-unquote Cher the star, is played by Stephanie J. Block, who is a Tony Award winner. I believe she's also played Idina Menzel's role in Wicked at some point as well. So she's very well known. She does a fantastic job playing Cher. She totally inhabits her. It's funny because her voice, she does the voice to perfection. Oh. And I read somewhere that the way she nailed it down was to wear Crest strips and talk to her husband wearing Crest teeth whitening strips.
Oh, how interesting.
And he was like, oh, I think you got Cher's voice down. And she's like, wow, look at that.
Wow.
All right. The actress that plays Cher when she's young, unfortunately, is playing a caricature of Cher, not the real Cher.
How young?
So that she's the weakest link. The actress, I think she's 16 in real life, but she plays her from as young as 9 through like 20.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, she was the weakest link in the show. The music is fantastic. All the songs that you would expect to hear about and from Cher are in there. The guy that plays Bob Mackie, because as you know, Cher had a very interesting relationship with Bob Mackie. He's fantastic. He's a ham, and he's having a ball up on stage playing Bob Mackie.
Fine.
Yeah, music is good. The set is pretty impressive. It's bare bones, but yet it's not bare bones in a way that it detracts from the show, and the minimal stuff that is on stage is very impressive, if that makes any sense. My biggest issue is about an hour and 45 minutes in, they get to her film career.
Oh.
And then they just brush right through that. Mm. They don't even cover The Witches of Eastwick. They don't cover... Yep, they don't cover Mask.
Oh.
They do show her winning the Oscar, of course, and they show her getting nominated for Silkwood. But then after that, it's, you know, it goes right into the Believe era after Sunny dies and she comes out with the Believe album. Rockin' Finale, it's an add this to your list. I probably will end up going to see it again because my mom is dying to see it because she's a Cher fan. So
that's fine.
Yeah, so I'll probably take her. It's just fun and it's very informative, and like Cher is, she's kind of done it all, guys.
Yeah.
She commands respect. I mean, she's done
absolutely
film, TV. I didn't know. Did you guys know that she and Sunny basically started as a comedian act, not as a music
like a variety
act?
Show, right?
I had no idea. Mm. Yeah, variety show. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah, it doesn't paint Sunny in too well of a light, but that's okay.
That's interesting.
I mean, yeah.
What did it do? Well, I mean, he was like what? Because he was cheating and all that.
Well, no. So he basically, when they were doing the Sonny and Cher show, he had the contract all in his name. And so all the money was essentially going to him. And when they got a divorce, he refused to give her 50% of it.
Well, yeah, that's basically how it was back in the day,
yeah.
Right?
Wow. Yeah. And it wasn't contracted.
A lot of
and,
married people did that.
Shady.
Yep. So pretty fucked up, right?
Same thing happened to Tina. Miss Turner.
Wow. The divas. Who is, what's the third Cher, Tom? So there's the young Cher, there's like the star Cher. Is there another Cher?
Yeah, it's the girl, the babe, and the star are the way that they are portrayed.
Okay.
So there's Cher as young, she's the girl, there's the babe from the Sonny and Cher era. And then there's the star who is Cher of
now. How involved was Cher in this, do you know?
Super involved. Right? In fact, she wanted to see like every draft of the script. And she's still pretty critical of it, but she was like, I had to get it to the stage or else I was going to die first. So
it was in the works for like at least like
for years,
2 years of like solid, like you heard about it and it's like, when is it coming?
Yep. They tested it in Chicago.
Wow, yeah.
And then, yeah.
Were there any original songs for it, Tom? Or is it all just her?
Not that I'm not 100% sure, but I don't believe
so. Okay. That sounds fun. I definitely,
all based on Cher's
I definitely want to check it out someday. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think it'll be around for a while. Like you said with King Kong, will it stick around for years and years and years? No, probably not, but I think it'll be around.
I can see that.
So the second thing on my list, this is kind of in honor of Super Bowl coming up, and I'm actually very angry about the Super Bowl because the Saints should be in it, but that's neither here nor there.
Who is in the Super Bowl? I don't even know.
The Rams
and the
Patriots.
The Patriots again?
Yes, Tom Brady and crew.
Oh my God, okay, I'll watch for the commercials.
I know, right?
So, kind of in honor of the Super Bowl, I'm sure you guys have plenty of friends like I do who play fantasy fucking football, right?
No.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, but I know that
I know it exists.
I have a ton of friends that do it, and they actually make a shit ton of money off of it. But anyway, I want to talk about, have you guys heard of Fantasy Movie League?
No, but I like the sound of it.
What is happening here? What are we talking about?
All right. So, Mark, I'm surprised. Do you go to AMC theaters? Because they're constantly showing ads for it.
Wow.
Do you show up early for movies?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't.
You don't want to see the trailers?
I mean, if I can, but most of the time I'm rushing to get there like 2 minutes before. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that shocks me.
Oh yeah, nah.
Yeah, that's a no-no.
I'm at the point now where it's like the less amount of time I'm in a theater with all these obnoxious people is the
clearly.
Best, yeah. But when I go to like the Alamo, yeah, I usually like to get there early because you order your food and they have good trailers. So yeah, okay, yeah. I just haven't gone to AMC in a while. Anyway, okay.
Well, I first learned about Fantasy Movie League from an AMC ad.
Mm.
It is an app, and it is in vain of fantasy football and fantasy baseball and all the other fantasy sports leagues that are out there now. Essentially, what you do is every week you pretend that you are the owner of a movie theater. You are the owner of a movie theater that has 8 available theaters. And based on the releases of that week and how the box office is playing that week, you have to basically decide what movies you're going to stick into the 8 theaters you have available.
Ooh.
And the results are based on how the actual real life box office comes into play.
Okay.
So there is a scenario where, let's say, you think Bohemian Rhapsody is going to make so much money that you're going to stick it in three of your eight theaters, and it's going to play in three of your eight theaters. That leaves you only five other theaters to choose movies for. So you may not even have space for the top five films. It's based on, you know, supply and demand, essentially. Mm. Sounds great, right? The app is clunky as fuck.
Oh, no.
This is not where I thought
you
were going.
Yeah, you had me on edge of my seat. Jeez,
I mean,
blue balls.
Yeah, so the idea is there, but the execution, I don't get it. I can't figure out how to use it, and I've asked a couple people that play it, and they're like, yeah, it takes a really long time to get the hang of it, and for me, it's not fun.
I'm looking at it.
I'm gonna say skip that shit.
Oh, this sounded so fun. I did not expect.
Yeah, it's not what I thought you were saying.
I thought I'm about to sign up right now. Yeah, it has a 3.6 rating on the App Store for you know iPhone. So that's interesting. So it's just what about it? Doesn't work? The app just isn't well made.
The rules just aren't very clear. And when you go to the rules section of the app, it is like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. There's like nothing that explains it. There's no like fantasy movie league for dummies to quickly explain it. I would be highly curious for you guys to go in and play around with it and see if I'm just missing something, because the idea is so cool and so novel. And it's actually tied to like real world business, the way that fantasy football is in a way tied to how the actual NFL standings are coming out. It just, for me, it's an epic fail.
Wow, Tom. And can you actually like make money off of it or no? It's all pretend.
You can, yeah. Yeah, no.
You can make a lot of money. It's like $1,000 in gift cards, two free movie tickets for a year.
Yep.
They give you some good prizes.
Wow, Tom, we got to figure out how to play this thing.
I know. And you know me, I love movies, and I love, like, analyzing box office, and if I could, that would be the line of work I would be in. Mm. So I was super excited when I heard about this, and I'm just like, no.
Wow.
Nope.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
So sorry to end on a womp womp, because we had a list of all ads up until this point. We had Mark, he added King Kong on Broadway to his list, and he added the HBO show Barry, which is about to start its second season, but you're halfway through the first?
Yeah, I'm a couple episodes in. I'm catching up.
Okay, and then Fumi had two ads, Netflix documentaries, Abducted in Plain Sight, and then the highly buzzed about Confessions with a Killer, the Ted Bundy tapes.
Yep.
I had a Broadway show as well that I added to my list, The Cher Show. And then I had the Fantasy Movie League app, which I did not add to my list.
Can I just give an honorable mention?
You might be doing what I'm about to do. Go for it.
Can I just give an honorable mention to Celebrity Big Brother?
Oh, that's not what I was going to say, but yes, please.
It is so good. I haven't watched Big Brother in so many years, you guys. I can't even tell you. The cast for Celebrity Big Brother, shout out to whoever cast that show. You guys...
But
Bravo.
Wait, boom.
Just on point.
You didn't watch last season, right? The first Celebrity?
I did not.
Yeah, that cast was way better. Yeah,
really?
I mean, it's fun. I'm watching it because the games are just so fun. And, like, once you start, like, you're in it.
You cannot stop.
Even if it's not good, like, once you start this show, you cannot stop. But last season's cast, way better. Oh, my gosh. Ross and Mark McGrath and Shannon Elizabeth. Like, that was a good group. This group's okay. Yeah. But I'm totally there with you. It's so fun. Right, Foom?
It's so
my
good.
So good.
Mark, what was
my little mention was I'm surprised we didn't really have it on our list, although I feel like it was just so pop culture-y that it's kind of like it'd be old news if it was on our list. But can we also give a shout out to the Great Fire Festival docs?
Well, I talked about it last week. I told you guys to watch both of them.
I watched both.
Definitely.
You watched both.
They're both
did you
amazing.
Watch both?
No, I hadn't. I was working.
Oh my gosh.
It's
they
amazing.
Are both extremely well done, and there's just the perfect amount of overlap. They really talk about different stuff. They show different stuff. Netflix is very much like an insider's point of view, while Hulu is more like the history of Billy and kind of like looking at it from an outsider's lens, wow, fascinating. And that fucking guy, oh my gosh, wow.
Psychopath. Yeah. Sociopath.
I mean, when he's in the actually in the Hulu one. Oof. And like his stupid outfit all black with the boots and it's all hipstery. Oh. I'm like, and I loved how that producer was like, oh, do you need a 10-minute break to go think about what you're going to lie about?
Right,
like,
right,
whoa.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I got to give that up. Those were fascinating to watch. So,
yeah.
But as we speak, everyone's like, yeah, duh, move on to the next thing. So, I mean, you know.
All right. So before we finish, guys, let's talk about the Oscars. So, I mean, as far as the nominations go, for me, the big surprises were that Yalitza Aparicio and Marina, I forget her last name, both got acting nominations.
Roma.
Best Actress and Best Supporting.
Roma's coming for it, y'all.
Yeah. Another surprise for me was that Bradley was snubbed for Best Director. Mm-hmm. But as, you know, everything else, I wasn't really surprised. I think Fumi had the exact same reaction as I did. No one really saw the Marina Best Supporting Actress nomination coming.
I'm okay with it, though. I liked her. I liked her more than Yalitza.
Yeah, I would agree. But I think the news is all the other stuff that's coming out about the Oscars. So there's not going to be a host, right?
Yep.
Then they said, okay, there are 5 songs nominated for Best Song, but only 2 of them are going to actually get to be performed on live TV. And the way that we're going to choose those two...
No, but that's just an idea, right? That's not official.
Wait, but hold on. No, and the way that we're going to choose those two is based on the popularity of those songs. So that's why Kendrick and Gaga make the cut. And everybody else, who no one else, you know, everybody else who no one knows...
But they have not been... I was reading about it, and the Oscars do switch it up. They don't necessarily allow every person nominated.
I think that's terrible. I think that is fucked up, and like I almost wouldn't even watch. That's so stupid. So you mean to tell me I got to look through all these other nominees, but the songs that are the easiest to actually display on this award show, just do a 30-second medley of each? I mean,
yeah, agree. Instead of playing the whole song.
Right? I mean.
No, I agree with you. I don't think they need to play the whole song of
like,
one of those.
Like, that's crazy. And, like, of course, those 2 songs are the biggest ones. But, like, I mean, a lot of people didn't like Mary Poppins Returns. But it'd be nice to see Emily Blunt sing on stage, you know? It'd be nice to see whoever sang the RBG song, you know, sing it up there.
I don't think it's... Actually, it's funny because Jennifer Hudson sang one of those songs. And she's an Oscar
winner. I love that.
So she's probably like, what the fuck? But... I don't think that's set in stone.
Yeah, it's still an idea, right?
I think it's still something they're floating around and that the producers want to do, but they're getting a lot of pushback.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Well, here's the big kicker, though. Did you guys hear, and I do believe this is set in stone, so correct me if I'm wrong, I think they're going to give all the tech awards during commercial breaks.
I have heard that as well.
I've heard that, too.
I don't know if it's official.
I mean, I don't know if I'm
so. What do you think,
mad
guys?
At that. Oof, that's hard.
You know,
that's
say, Fumi, I agree with you. I agree with you. It's just too long of a show.
Yeah. They got to do something.
On a Sunday night.
Well, which technical awards would you guys give out during the commercials? Like, the sound ones, the...
Sound editing, sound mixing.
Would you give away, like, cinematography? Or is that, like, more...
No,
important?
I think people would be interested in that.
Interesting.
I think... general audience, a good portion of the general audience at least knows what's involved in cinematography, where when you talk to people, you know, if we were to go on the street and say, what's the difference between sound editing and sound mixing, I bet you most people couldn't tell us.
Well, most people can't even remember who won last year, and I'm one of them. I'm like, wait, who won best?
You know, I couldn't. When Fumi sent us that article, so Fumi, talk about that.
Yeah, yep, totally.
Yeah, so I saw an article about, you know, the question is, how relevant are the Oscars still to the mass public? And it might not be. It might be something where the mass public just doesn't really care because a lot of the movies that get nominated are not things that a lot of people go watch. Mm-hmm. This year is a bit of, you know, a little different with Black Panther being nominated and a couple Stars Born. I think they had a lot of people who watched those films or who paid tickets to go see it in the theater, but normally they don't.
Right.
And I don't remember if it was the Hollywood Reporter or Variety, but they did a survey about how many people could remember who the Best Picture winner was last year. And a lot of people couldn't. I think only like 30 or 40% that they could remember Shape of Water.
I think it was like 30. Yep.
And then the year before that, the only reason why I remember it was Moonlight is because it was such a fiasco.
Because
a lot
of controversy.
A lot of people still think it was La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that the Oscars are obviously trying to kind of figure out a way to change with the times of how people absorb media now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But also stay true to the foundation of the Oscars and the prestige of the Oscars. I think it's a fine line. I don't think they have it quite yet. I think hands down, they do have to make it a lot shorter. I mean, they need to take out a good like half hour out of that program because it's just too much. So I do understand the way they're doing that. But my thing is they need to get rid of these skits that they insist on doing every year. These ridiculous, unfunny skits that just keep popping up out of nowhere. And they're so, they're not funny. They're absurd. I think it agitates the Oscar nominees and everybody attending. And I don't think anybody at home cares to watch them.
Yeah.
The only one that was good was when Ellen did the selfie. Yeah. But that's it. Like, other than that, it's just not necessary. Right. They did something stupid last year.
The
with,
movie
like,
theater, right? Where they...
The hot dogs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what? Who cares? Yeah. Like, this is also, 15 minutes where you could easily just stop doing that stuff and have time. Right.
Also, I think when they're, like, when they give out the Lifetime Achievement Awards, like, tell the person who's introducing the Lifetime Achievement Award winner, 2 minutes max. Right. Like, these introductions... about, like, a sprawling career and naming every fucking movie that they've been in and showing clips and you know, stroking his or her dick. Like, just call the person on stage, give a brief synopsis about, you know, I'm a person who believes less is more, and I'm all about brevity and being concise, and you can still be really powerful in a minute's worth of time.
Oh, for sure.
And explain just how influential someone has been on the industry. But these, like, introductions are, like, 4 or 5 minutes long, and then the person gets up there, and then they speak for another 2, 3, 4 minutes, and it's like,
and they're
God.
So old, like, they are like, wow, there are so many people in the room. But I forget, do the Oscars do, a lifetime achievement? I really can't remember. Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like a way to help with the Oscars, well, already they're going to help themselves by not having a host, because that will... like cut things down.
Yes.
And hopefully if they're smart, they're working on like some little fun opening skit with like a few different celebrities, probably like popping up in different movies or something. And it's no more than like 7 minutes max. Then like, I liked that one year when like Justin Timberlake sang that song from the Trolls movie and like opened the show that way. Like start it off with a song, like get like Kendrick Lamar in there, like right in the beginning. You know what I mean? And I feel like, another way to really cut down on time, and I feel like this has been happening with like the Globes and the SAGs, it's like when people come out to present, if they're not funny, don't give them funny shit to say, because it just like drags and it's not funny and it's awkward. It's like,
totally agree.
And then they're like looking for like their next line and people, and then it's shots to the awkward crowd and it's like, just cut it. Just get right to it. You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
And then one more thing. I do feel like, even though, of course, the short films are obviously important, and, like, I made a short film, I get it. Like, hard work goes into that. I feel like the 3 short films, live action, animation, and the doc short film, could almost just be, like, announced as one. Like, not even listing the nominees, just having someone say, here are the 3 winners. So-and-so won for best live action. Clap, clap, clap. So-and-so won for best animation. You know what I mean? Like, just list them like that and have them come right up. Maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean? I feel like some of those things, you don't need to tell all the nominees. Like, give us all the nominees. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they have done focus groups or however the Oscars is trying to go about dissecting and figuring out the best way to do their award show. But I do think that they probably need to go back and rethink some things. But we shall see what this award show looks like.
I
feel like this year's a guinea pig. And they're, it's kind of like a platform, really. So every year going forward now, they have this as kind of a baseline, right, where things were really different, much to their liking, much not to their liking, much by choice, much not by choice. And you know, they might end up being pleasantly surprised. Yeah. Who knows? We might be end up being pleasantly surprised. Yeah. But it just doesn't sound like it's shaping up well. The publicity, they kind of need to get ahead of the what I feel is bad publicity out there right now.
Yeah. I also, one last thought, just think it's funny that, because we had talked about this offline, that the Oscars were sort of kind of bullying like celebrities into like coming to their show to present don't go to the Golden Globes, don't go to the SAGs to present. When it's funny because, as we're saying and as everyone knows, like the Oscars are kind of becoming more and more irrelevant. So it's like, you know, I know, like, Margot Robbie apparently followed their lead and, like, didn't go to any of the other award shows. And, Margot, you didn't get an Oscar nom. Like, you should have just gone to the other award shows. It's so interesting. So, I don't know.
Well, apparently they've been doing that. They do that every year. But this year, for some reason, I think people were like, stay
in the lane. I guess so. You're right. I'm sure they have been because, you know, they're like the kind of quote unquote cream of the crop, but it's just like, not so much anymore. I mean, people care more about TV, like presenters. It's okay if you do more than one show. I don't like get this whole like, no, you're with us. I don't know. I think they just got to figure out like their place in the lot of award shows, because obviously we know there's so many that it's like, maybe the Oscars aren't really the end all be all anymore.
Yeah. Totally agree.
And it's also not helping that, you know, Green Book, which is, a lot of people believe is poised to win Best Picture, right? Just the publicity surrounding that. And then, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami Malek is probably going to win Best Actor, and the film is nominated for Best Picture, and we know, you know, everything going on with Bryan Singer. So it's like the movies that they're putting up there on a pedestal are kind of like that they're just really problematic, and they're continuing to celebrate them. So, you know, I feel like that's kind of biting them in the ass too this year. It just seems like a perfect storm.
That's a really interesting thought, Tom, actually, that this year, now that they're focusing more on those bigger budget movies, those are the more problematic ones. While the tiny little indies that very few people see, there's no like shade going on there at all.
Yeah, they're clean.
So that's so funny.
All right. Well, I think that's our show for the week. So thank you guys for joining me on a lovely trip. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You are either listening to us on Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, or Spotify. So please continue to do that. Add us to your weekly subscriptions. Write reviews. Please rate us, review us. We want to hear your thoughts. As usual, thank you to Greg, Allie, and Jay for all of your support that you give and lend this podcast. We are forever indebted to you. And listeners, we will catch you in about a week or so.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.